Well, everybody, welcome to episode 154 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk some Ankeny football tonight. In a little while, I'll be visiting with one of the standouts on the Hawks defensive unit. But right now, I want to bring in the team's head coach. He has guided the Hawks to a 3-1 record thus far. And his squad is now ranked number 2 in the new Class 5A following the Hawks' 21-7 victory over then number 1 Southeast Polk on Friday. He is Rick Nelson. Rick, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on Friday's win. We'll break down that game here in a little bit. But overall, you guys are now 3-1. And considering the tough schedule that your team has had, you know, you have to be pretty happy with where the team is sitting right now.
Yeah, it was, when that schedule came out, we knew we were going to have some good players. We had some unknowns, and when that schedule came out, we were like, well, okay. So we'll have that for 2 years, and, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. That's what they gave us, so that's what we're playing.
Of course, you guys opened the season with an impressive 49-0 victory over Waukee, but the Warriors are obviously struggling, you know, after the split into two high schools. I'm not sure how much you learned about your team that night. And then the next week, your team struggled a little bit offensively, and you suffered a 14-7 loss to your crosstown rival. But I'm sure you can look back at that game now and feel like that, you know, that just wasn't the team, your team that night, was it? Because, I mean, you guys made some mistakes that are just so uncharacteristic of this team.
Yeah, we didn't help ourselves, for sure. We figured that Centennial was going to go back to their offense. They ran a different offense against Indianola. And so we did prepare for their offense, and they had a really nice drive in the fourth quarter. That was really the only time our defense, I thought, other than that, they played really well. Offensively, we just we missed some things, and we had so many penalties that really hurt us. Even in the fourth quarter, our defense had a penalty that kept the drive alive for Centennial. So we were our own enemy, and we cleaned some things up, and the kids responded really well. And, you know, Dowling without their quarterback, he was, I thought, a really good football player. So I think it's been tough for them offensively too. But still, when you beat Dowling, and I think they have one of the best defensive players in the state, their D linemen. So we were really happy, and we were really excited about the win at our win against Southeast Polk. They have a nice football team, and just some really big kids. They're big and physical. So we feel really good about that, and we got a tough challenge this week against Roosevelt.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the win over Dowling. That was a 27-13 decision, and then of course, you followed that up with a win over Southeast Polk. That was a rematch of last year's Class 4A championship game. And it's really been a team effort too, hasn't it? Because, I mean, you guys have been really solid on both sides of the ball the last 2 weeks.
We've played better on offense, and defensively, the kids are really tough. We've had a lot of different kids step up, and I couldn't be prouder of the way our kids are playing right now. So we're asking for another effort this Friday, and I think we'll get it. Our kids are—they're really good kids, and it's important to them. And they have a pretty good brotherhood, I think, on our football team.
We'll talk about your upcoming schedule here in a little bit, but let's talk about your offense first. Your quarterback, J.J. Cole, you know, he had his struggles against Centennial. He went 8-23 for 66 yards, and he was picked off once. But he's looked like a different quarterback the last 2 weeks. He's gone 23-33 for 286 yards and 4 touchdowns. And I know you told me that you guys, you know, simplified the offense a little bit for him, but, boy, he's just looked like, you know, he's really comfortable back there now.
Yeah, we brought him in and visited with him and you know, just told him our expectations after the Centennial game. I think he pressed really hard. He didn't look comfortable at all. I don't really even think he got pressure against Centennial. I just think he was pressing, and, you know, his throws were if you'd ever watch him throw in 7-on-7, which I know is totally different. I mean, there's nobody that looks better. But then when you watched him probably throw against Centennial, that there would have been a lot of kids that would be better. So we just told him, hey, you know, calm down. You're going to be fine. You know, get more of a warrior spirit to you. And he's doing those things. He really wants to be good, and he soaks it in. This is totally different for him, this offense. I'm not making excuses for him. I'm just it's just different than the offense he'd been in. And so, you know, I think he's just going to get better and better and better. And if he does keep improving, we'll be really solid towards the end of the season.
On Friday's game, he threw a couple of bombs early on. He had one to Ryan Crandall, the other one to Colin Kadolf, you know, to set up your first two touchdowns. You know, and you mentioned the 7-on-7 drills where, you know, he's really gotten a lot of attention from college coaches. He's getting recruited quite a bit. You know, and one thing they really have to like about him is those deep balls that he throws, because, man, he throws a pretty deep ball, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's nice. He's pretty accurate. When he gets his feet set and, you know, throws it, not where he's in a panic state, he's – probably as good as anybody in the state. So he threw some nice footballs. He looks a little much more relaxed, more confident. And we just told him, you know, we want him to have a swagger. You're the leader of our team, and they're going to follow you. So he's doing really well. He's a neat kid. And I think there'll be some big things coming for him throughout the year.
Well, Kadolf has been the most consistent part of your offensive attack all season, you know, in the running game. He ran for a career-high 224 yards on 34 carries in the loss to Centennial. And for the season, he has rushed for 641 yards and 5 touchdowns on 98 carries. And I don't know if he's the best running back in the state, but, you know, he's got to be on a pretty short list, I would think.
Yeah, he's really solid. The neat thing about him is he's probably as good a receiver as he is a running back. He catches the ball well. It's hard for teams to match up with him if, you know, he comes out of the backfield. And he's running really solid inside right now. We haven't really gotten our outside game going, you know, as we'd like to, but he's really solid running the ball inside. He had a great run the other night. We ran a little power, and he made a little double cut, you know, boom, boom, and he's fast. And he's fast with pads on. So that was really, I think, one of the key plays in that game is that long run he had.
Well, now I know Colin battled a nagging injury last year, and I asked him about his health, you know, for the prep of the week feature this week. He's on pace to go well over 200 carries this year. You know, do you think he can handle that load, or are you going to try to maybe take a little bit of the load off of him here in the next 5 weeks?
I'd say we're just going to keep handing it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a strong kid. He's probably even a little leaner this year than he was last year. But he's strong. He's very explosive. We've changed everything, how we train and how we practice. And so I even though we don't have a ton of kids on our football team, we try the best that we can, you know, not to just get them just so tired throughout the week and beat on them. And so, and we've tried to do that in the weight room also, to kind of cut things back. Maybe that less is more, is kind of what our philosophy is right now. And it seems to work pretty good right now. So, we think we get our kids ready to play on Fridays, and I think he's felt pretty good each Friday.
Well, he told me he didn't complain about all those carries against Centennial. So, well, Brady McCall is another guy that you've relied on heavily. He leads your receivers with 15 catches for 199 yards and 3 scores. And you've also been getting him some reps on defense. You know, he's certainly one of the leaders of the team too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a nice kid. He's tall, but he's pretty good size. He can run. He has a good grasp for our offense. He has good hands. I mean, he's had a couple drops, but I think he's settled down too. I think, you know, maybe in that Centennial game or even in the Waukee game, I just think our kids were just so keyed up. They didn't play to their capability. But he's had some really nice catches. I thought he was going to make a heck of a catch against Southeast Polk, but when he hit the ground, you know, the ball came out. But he's a super kid. You know, he probably will be a really good size young man when he's about 20 years old. So he'll probably end up
being kind of a tight end or hybrid type player in college. So, because he will be a big kid because he loves to work out. I mean, he'll be a nice sized young man.
Well, I've been impressed with the other receivers as well. Will Henrich stepped up with 4 catches for 30 yards on Friday, and you've also played Crandall on offense the last 2 weeks. He's responded with 5 catches for 57 yards, and you mentioned Kadolph's ability to come out of the backfield to catch balls. He's got 7 catches for 62 yards. You know, so you got a lot of different weapons that J.J. can go to, don't you?
Yeah, I think Crandall, he's a super athlete. So he's helped us quite a bit coming over in offense because it's going to be hard to bracket McCullough with him out there, and then if you throw Crandall in the mix, you know, that's tough. And Will did some nice things. You know, Will's another nice tall kid, so it was nice to see him have some catches. So we're going to need all those kids down the stretch here to just keep making plays for us.
Well, Rick, I know you spend more time with the offensive line than anybody, so I wanted to ask you about their development. I know you had some question marks there coming into the season, but it seems like that group is really coming along nicely.
Hey, you know, I think this is one of the better lines we've had. Joe's a lot better than he was last year. Espino is really solid. You know, he's playing every position right now. And he's really a leader of the group up front. And Ryan Mayer's done a terrific job at center. He's doing really a super job. And then we had Drew Monsavius. He transferred in. Mm-hmm. He's a really good player. And then I'm really, you know, I'm proud of all of them, but E.T. at left tackle's done a super job pass proing, and he played some last year at guard, but we moved him out to tackle, and he's really done a nice job. So, I'm proud of those kids. They're playing really well. They seem to get along just great, and I've never had good lines in all the years I've coached, you know, if they don't care about each other, and I think these kids, they really love one another, and I think that's why they're doing well.
Let's talk about your defense now. You guys had one of the best defenses in the state last year. I don't think there's been much drop-off of any this year. You guys really shut down Southeast Polk on Friday. You held the Rams to just 251 total yards. You know, the way those guys are playing, I mean, you have to feel good, you know, about your team's ability to stay in any game the rest of the way, I would think.
Well, you know, we went for it on fourth down. We were almost going to do it another time because we feel, you know, really confident about our defense. So, the guys up front, our front seven, are pretty salty. You know, they're not huge. Simonson's probably the biggest kid we have. But they play hard. They play great with their hands. They bring their feet. And they just don't stay blocked very long. They might get blocked, but they'll get off the blocks. And our linebackers are doing a really nice job. You know, we switched Pettingroth and Webb Tate to inside this year. They were outside last year, and so they've done a really nice job. So our defense is doing well, and we moved Cornwell to safety, and Crandall's playing a safety, so we're pretty solid. And I think you know, Sandvig's doing a really nice job at cover corner, and Reed Johnson and Summers. So I couldn't be happier of the way our defense is playing.
Well, Simonson leads your team with 21 and a half tackles. I'm going to be talking with him here in a few minutes. But boy, he was all over the field on Friday. He had 9 tackles, including 4 for losses. You know, he just had an incredible game, didn't he?
Yeah, I told him, and I mean, I told the kids. I've been here 7 years, and I've never seen a defensive player play like that. So it was awesome, and he was up against a kid who I think is going to be a really good football player. Their big tackle. And he just did a great job. I mean, he was all over the place. He was in the backfield. He was causing havoc, and it was fun to watch. So I told him, I said, okay, there, you know, you set the standard, so let's keep it up.
There you go. We have 6 other guys who have made more than 10 tackles this season, including Webb Tate and Sean Gavin, who you mentioned, and they've also been a big part of your team's aggressive defense. And I know your defensive front is maybe a little undersized. I think you kind of mentioned that, but it just seems like those guys are able to get so much pressure on the quarterback that it makes everybody else's job easier.
Yeah, you know, we moved Sean had played inside, but we moved him outside, and he looks a lot more comfortable. He got a little dinged up in that game on Friday, but he looks a lot more comfortable outside than he did inside. So I think he's more at home out there, and Yeah, the kids, you know, we go against them every day, and I think that helps our offensive linemen because, you know, we try to go as much as we can good versus good. And so I think that's what helps the offensive linemen is they have to try to block those kids up front.
Well, yeah, your defense is just so fast. And I know there was one play on Friday that I had a good view of where it looked like the Southeast Polk running back had a big hole to run through, but then, you know, all of a sudden one of your guys just flew to that gap and blew the play up. You know, when you have a lot of guys that can fly to the ball like that, I mean, that really makes it tough on the offense, doesn't it?
Yeah, the kids, you know, we sprint our kids every week. Today we did wickets, which is like a stride frequency. So we work with our kids running. We make that part of practice. And it's not conditioning. It's sprinting. We went to a clinic a few years ago, and then the clinic came here this summer. And you know, I'm a believer. I mean, our kids get faster throughout the season. And, you know, knock on wood, I mean, we've been very fortunate with, you know, cramps and things. And I think that I attribute that to the sprint drills that we do during the week.
Well, let's briefly talk about the rest of your schedule. You guys will host Roosevelt on Friday, and the Rough Riders got off to a 3-0 start before losing to Urbandale last Friday, but they're still ranked 10th, and they've got a pretty talented quarterback in Jameson Patton, don't they?
Yeah, he's a really good athlete. So we got to hem him up. They have a nice tight end, 6'5 kid that he likes to throw to. So that would be our two major things that we got to get hemmed up. And then on defense, they blitz every play. So they're just, you know, I don't know if you're coming to our game or not.
But, oh, I'll be there. I'll be there.
Okay. I mean, they just flog it. I mean, they're coming. So we've worked hard on just trying, you know, we can't do all of it because we've had four games to break down. But, I mean, they're blitzing every play.
Wow.
So, you know, they put you in a lot of long yardage situations. So our biggest thing for on offense is just don't let them, you know, get ahead of the chains. Don't let them get us a second and 14. So that's what they've done to everybody they've played. And so that'll be our biggest challenge is just they're going to come after us.
I would think when they do that, when they come after you every single play, if you know it's coming, that it might be a little easier to prepare for.
Yeah, I mean, we know it's coming. We're just not sure which one they're going to use. You know, they must have a wheel that spins, and that one, and, you know, here they come. So, we worked at it hard. So we'll hit it again a little bit tomorrow, and I think we'll be ready to go on Friday.
All right, well, you guys will visit Valley on October 1st, and then you'll close out the regular season with home games against North and Lincoln, sandwiched around a trip to Waukee Northwest on October 15th. And even though Northwest is just 1-3 right now, you know, they got their first win on Friday with an impressive 31-0 victory over Johnston. You know, this has just been one of those seasons where all the top teams have just kind of taken turns knocking each other off, haven't they?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I don't know much about the east side. I guess Dowling, Iowa City must have been a good game. I haven't seen it. So I don't know about anything about Kennedy. I don't know much about Iowa City. I didn't watch that game. But, you know, all we can do is take care of our schedule and who we play and then whoever they pair you up with, you know. There's probably going to be a couple football teams that are pretty good that might not get into the 16-team playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just got to keep winning so we don't have to have anything – you know, relying on somebody to say, oh, okay, this RPI is this. I still don't quite understand the RPI.
Right.
But, you know, we just got to take care of ourselves.
Well, I know it's a little early to look ahead to the playoffs, but just based on how this first month has gone, you know, it looks like it could be one of the most unpredictable postseasons ever, don't you think? I mean, just with all the upsets?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably several teams that could end up in that championship game. So it looks like, you know, it's obviously we're from the Des Moines area and we feel like the best football is played here, but, you know, they practice too on the east side and the west side. And so I'm sure they feel the same way about where they're at. So I don't know how they'll do it, if we're going to, you know, if they'll send teams away or if we're going to all beat each other up again in the playoffs here.
Right.
I don't know how they'll do it.
Right. Well, it's going to be fun. I guess we'll find out who the best team is eventually. So.
Yeah, we sure will.
Well, hey, Rick, thanks for coming tonight. I appreciate it. Good luck on Friday night.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my other guest tonight is a senior defensive lineman for the Hawks, and he's played a key role in the team's 3-1 start. As I mentioned earlier, he leads the squad with 21.5 tackles, and he's coming off perhaps the best game of his career on Friday night. He is Braden Simonson. Braden, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on the win Friday and on your tremendous performance. You know, you've had a few days now to reflect on that game. Did you think it was the best game of your career?
I do, but, I mean, we just keep getting better at practice, so I think everyone's got room to improve, even I do, and just going against one of the top offenses, I think, the top offense in the state, it just helps it day in, day out.
I know you mentioned afterwards that you had watched a lot of film prior to the Southeast Polk game, and that helped a lot in your preparation. So you had seen some things on film that Dowling's Jalen Pettis had done against the Rams that you were able to kind of do as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, he just did really well against them, and I think there was some other guys too that did some good things against him, and so I just tried to do whatever else they did that helped them get success and just try to use it for myself.
Well, Southeast Polk obviously has a huge offensive line, and nobody's bigger than Caden Proctor, the five-star tackle who's being recruited by virtually everybody. And I know you ran into him quite a bit that night. So were you able to find some tactics that worked against him a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I just tried to use the speed as much as I can and not go run right into him and just try to go around him and stuff, and I think that really helped.
Yeah, he's probably not a guy that you want to get locked up with, right?
No.
Yeah. Well, you guys also held quarterback Jackson Daly to just 13 of 24 passing for 152 yards. And, of course, Will Cornwell had a late interception that kind of sealed the victory. And Daly is primarily a pocket passer, and it just seems like your defense really feasts on those kind of quarterbacks, you know, with all the speed that you guys have.
Yeah, I think we just get off the ball really well. And then we just work hands all the time, work our moves all the time, and I just think that really helps.
Do you think a guy like Daly, who's more of a pocket passer, is he a little easier for you guys to defend than somebody like, you know, Peyton Good, who had a little bit of success against you guys a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I think so, because with our edge, we just keep contained, and once they get outside contained, we just got to get to him. But if he's already in the pocket, I mean, it's just easy for us to get there.
Of course, on Friday, you guys also limited the Southeast Polk's running back, Titus Christensen, to just 73 yards on 15 carries, and 51 of those yards came on just one carry in the second quarter. So what was the key to slowing him down?
I think trusting your guys, trust the guy next to you doing his job, do your job, and just play our game, you know, just play how we normally play.
Now, one of Southeast Polk's biggest weapons, of course, is Xavier Wampa, and he missed the game due to an injury, and he's obviously an impact player on both sides of the ball. You know, how much of a difference do you think he would have made if he could have played in that game?
I think he would have made a difference. I mean, he's super good. He's a great player. I mean, that's why he's the number one kid in the state, but I think – just the way we played, it's hard to play, I guess.
Right. We guys certainly showed in that championship game last year that you can neutralize a guy like that. Because you guys won by 28, right?
Yeah.
Well, your defense has now allowed just 34 points in four games against some very tough competition. Do you feel like this defense is every bit as good as the one that you guys had last year?
Yeah, I think so. We kind of lost some key players, but we also had the class below us and kids in my class too step up and fill those shoes, and yeah.
Well, of course, a lot of those guys are back from last year's defense. And as Coach mentioned, you know, a couple of them have moved to some different positions. But schematically, are you guys pretty much, you know, running the same kind of defense, or have you made some changes this year?
We've made some changes, but we're mostly sticking with what we ran last year.
Well, Braden, I was asking Coach Nelson about Colin Kadolf's health, but I know you limped off the field at one point on Friday, even though, you know, you were able to return. Did you just get banged up a little bit?
Yeah, I went on that tackle, and I just got a helmet to the thigh and just, yeah.
Now, I know there was one game last year where you filled in a tight end when Weston Folk was out with an injury. So are you getting any reps on offense during practice this season, or are you just focusing on defense right now?
I've been mostly focusing on defense, but, like, the past couple weeks with Joe being out, I know I came over to offense to help out, and we've had a couple guys go over to offense, help, and learn the line. So we just, whatever they need me to play, I'll play.
Yeah, you don't mind playing both ways,
no.
Do you? Well, let's look ahead a little bit. You guys will host Roosevelt on Friday. And as Coach mentioned, the Rough Riders have an outstanding quarterback in Jamison Patton. He's passed for 557 yards and 6 touchdowns, and he's also rushed for 303 yards and 4 scores. You know, so he's obviously a dual threat guy. You know, he's not just a key to their offense. I mean, he's pretty much is their offense, isn't he?
Yeah, he definitely is. I think we just need to get the ball out of his hands and make him or get him uncomfortable right away from the first snap and just stay on him all night long.
Well, I'm sure you guys probably watched some film of the Urbandale game. What was Urbandale able to do to kind of slow him down?
I think just mostly just they contained him, kept him in the pocket, didn't let him scramble, didn't let him, like, just run like he normally does and, like, what he likes to do. So,
well, I know we have no idea what the playoff matchups will look like yet, but, you know, if you guys can stay near the top of the rankings, you would obviously get a home game in the opening round, possibly for the first two rounds. And with where Centennial's at right now at 2-2, you know, there might be a chance that you guys, you know, could see them again in the playoffs. How badly would you like another chance to play the Jaguars?
Oh, I want another shot at them. I think we just kind of felt off. We overlooked them a little bit, and I think so we just came into that game and we just weren't ready, and they kind of came out, punched us in the mouth. But the guys have definitely been taking practices more seriously. The coaches challenged us to watch some more film after that week, and I know our guys stepped up to that, so I know we all want to play them again and get payback.
Well, Braden, before I let you go, I just wanted to get a recruiting update from you. I know you already had some schools interested in you, and I would think after Friday's game that maybe even more would be looking at you. You know, how many offers do you have right now?
I have 5 or 6. I'm just talking to some schools, and then I'm going to Iowa for game day this weekend.
Can you mention some of those schools that you have offers from?
I have offers from Valparaiso, St. Thomas, and then a couple D2s.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, the recruiting game, you know, is just such a crapshoot. I mean, you look at a guy like Riley Moss, who initially committed to North Dakota State, and, you know, he didn't flip to Iowa until the Hawkeyes, you know, came in very late with an offer. And then, of course, your quarterback from last year, Jace Bauer, you know, he couldn't have played any better. But, you know, the best offer he got was from Central Michigan. He also had that PWO offer from Iowa. So do you feel like, you know, you could play on that Power 5 or the Division I level?
I hope so. But, I mean, I'm happy with what I'm at. And it's just my goal just to play football at the next level.
Do you have, like, a timetable for making a decision?
It's not going to be till like, after season.
Yeah. All right, Braden. Well, hey, thanks a lot for coming tonight. Appreciate it, and good luck Friday night.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny football coach Rick Nelson and senior defensive lineman Braden Simonson. I appreciate the time from those gentlemen. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. I think we'll be focusing on Tuesday night's big Jaghawk volleyball match.